This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin, and a special guest and friend of the show, familiar face, Cordell Woodland, of course, who is everywhere when it talks about, you know, in regards to covering Baltimore sports, the Ravens, the Orioles. He's all over 105.7. He's got his podcast going. Look, Cordell, you do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate the time you're affording us to come and hang out with us tonight, talk all things Ravens, getting people prepped for camp. But gentlemen, how are we doing tonight? Doing good?
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate you guys having me as always.
Yeah, for sure. Look, we appreciate you DMing us back and not simply leaving us on red.
Of course not. I don't think I've done that. I don't think I've done that with you guys.
Not with us.
Intentional. Not with you guys, but I try to respond to everybody. You know,
that's
what
very
I'm
nice of you.
Yeah, I try to.
There you go. No, that's awesome. We appreciate it, man. And we're excited to talk all things Ravens. Let's kick it right off. Glenn, what do you got for him, dude?
Well, I think we got to start with the most recent news, the news that's, I think split the fan base a little bit and their reaction and take on the new helmet that the Ravens are announcing for the upcoming season. As you can see here, kind of the front facing logo, a little bit different than, as we've seen of late with the more profile picture there, got the gold influence, a lot of color. Which I know a lot of fans are liking the purple there. But Jimbo, I got to get your reaction. Some fans are for it. Some are against it. What's your feelings?
I like it. I like the purple. What I don't like is I don't like the bird. Mm. I want the side. I like the profile bird better. I also don't know how, like, the gold is okay. I feel like I would have liked, I don't know. I guess purple and black, you can only do so much with. Because some people don't see the distinction between the two colors.
Are you picking on people who have color deficiency, Jimbo? You know I got problems.
No, but I mean, like, would that affect you? Would it just look all purple to you if it were purple and black together?
It depends on a lot of factors.
Okay? I just feel like a black face mask would be dope.
Okay.
The gold is okay, though. I don't know. Yeah, I just want the profile bird. My only ask here is the rest of it is fine. That's where I'm at.
Well, Cordell, I got to get your take. Are you for or against the forward facing bird? Because that seems to be the kind of the point of contention.
Well, I see people are upset about the logo itself. I don't actually have an issue with the logo. I like that it's different. It's a different version of the bird than we usually get. My only issue is that I think it's too small. The logo just looks too small. I can't think of another logo in the NFL where it's that small on the helmet. I mean, a lot of the logos take up majority of the side. So it just looks like the font is a little off to me. I'd like to see it blown up and magnified on the side of the helmet. But everything else I like. I love the color scheme. Mm-hmm. I like the gold face mask. I like the purple. I'm all for everything, but that logo on the side just looks too small for me.
That's a good point. Yeah. That's good. You know what I really liked? You know, did Jacksonville still do this, like the cool to, like the green to dark to black?
Where it fades?
Mm-hmm. Dude, it would be so cool to have a purple to like a matte black in the back.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I'm kind of like Cordell. I like it. I just think it's, for one, it's too small, but even if you get it, make it bigger, I don't know if it would fit the area. Like, it just seems like, yeah. It doesn't really fit where you're trying to put it. And I mean, I guess the Steelers, how big is their logo on the side? their helmet.
And they only have one side, right?
They only have it on one side. Yeah, I think theirs is actually kind of smaller now that I think about
and
it.
And DK is saying they should have used the B, right? DK, that's in the side profile logo. And just use that. Like,
I've seen a lot of Ravens fans say that. I guess I saw somebody put out a picture on Twitter of what that would have actually looked like. That didn't look bad. I don't hate this logo as much as a lot of other people do. I think the logo is different. You know, it seems a little more modern. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't seem like it fits the helmet for me.
Right. And do we know how often they're going to be using this alternate helmet?
I think only
like
during Color Rush, right?
I think only once. They're only supposed to wear this once this year.
Like a Thursday or something?
Yeah. I don't know what day, but I for whatever reason, I feel like I saw that they'll only wear it once.
Gotcha.
And this could be something where they end up changing it before the final, you know, before the game is played. Could very well. But I know a lot of people are not thrilled about the size of that logo, but we'll have to wait and see. Maybe they'll change it up, make some adjustments, and make it a little better. But I also really, I'm curious about the news of Hard Knocks. If you guys haven't seen it, looks like they're going to do a different take on Hard Knocks this season, where they focus on the off-season portion will be for the New York Giants, right? Is it where it's the free agency and in the draft is going to be the new for the Giants portion, and then they're going to transition to do a training camp with a different team. As I'm scrambling to try and find what that team's name is. Do you know that name by any chance? Either of you?
Looking at my email. I know I got it earlier.
Is it the Bears? The Bears. There it is. Chicago
that
Bears.
Makes sense. Yeah. All right.
So Chicago Bears will have the training camp portion of Hard Knocks, and then an in-season portion of Hard Knocks will be following the entirety of the AFC North. So the Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, and Browns will have an in-season portion of Hard Knocks. And I guess my first question to you, Cordell, is do you think John Harbaugh was on board for this, or do they have to kind of twist his arm? Being as though this is, I mean, if nothing else, even if they try and minimize it, it's at least a small distraction.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to him on the Adam Jones podcast when they were talking a little bit about Hard Knocks and, you know, Harb's thoughts on that. And he did acknowledge that he thought that might be a distraction to a degree. He also said that he didn't think any of the stuff on Hard Knocks is real, that a lot of this stuff he just feels like it just wasn't real. But he felt like if they were to do it, they would be their true authentic selves. I kind of buy that to a degree. I mean, I don't know how much control the team has in terms of what the final episode looks like, what all is in the episode and what's not. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like when you get in that mode in general and you're in work mode and you're locked in, after a while, now granted, I've never had the camera sitting on me and watching me do what I do, but I would have to imagine for these guys and considering what's at stake and what all goes into, you know, doing what they do throughout the course of a NFL season, I would imagine that eventually they just get into, you know, their natural rhythm and be able to go about it business as usual. But it's going to be weird, I think, for them who they don't like to have a lot of stuff out there. You know, they don't like to give a lot to the media. They give what they have to, and the rest they'll kind of put out when they feel like it on their own time. And that's within their right. So I am curious to see how they do go about the access and being open and just the access that HBO will have throughout the week. I'm curious to see how much they're able to do, but Hard Knocks, I don't watch a lot of Hard Knocks, but I know they pretty much get to go where almost it feels like wherever they want. They give you a lot of behind the scenes type of events that you normally aren't privy to. So I'm curious to see how the sausage is made kind of to a degree with the Ravens and see how they are throughout the week. But I do think it's going to be a little different for a team like this to kind of have all eyes on them throughout the entire season.
Yeah, it's going to be, I'm interested in a few things. While I'm not super excited, I'm on the bandwagon that it could, you know, end up being a distraction.
It will be so fun. You're not happy to hear this, Jimbo? You weren't happy to hear the news?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes I'm the old man on the porch.
Go ahead, and be like the old man, dude.
You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, dude, we don't need this. Like, I want us to be head down in the season and focused on nothing else, because there's going to be guys, say what you want. You put cameras on people, they start clout chasing, they start playing it up, they start, you know, I mean, reality television is a thing for a reason, right? The cameras true. On people yeah. change, right?
People don't like being embarrassed in front of national television.
Right. There's all right, exactly. All these things certainly occur. So my only thing is I think one of the things that will be cool to see, though, is I think Lamar Jackson is a pretty well private guy. Like, we know who he is from like Ravens Wired, but like outside of that, right. do we really know who Lamar is? I think that's gonna be cool to get a little bit of a more an in-depth look at how he relates to his teammates, how he works with them, how he leads them. To me, that's what I'm most excited about. I feel like the other guys we know well, and like Marlon's going to be a goof. He's going to put his phone in everyone's face, right? Like
Roquan is going to be just right. screaming, making people run through walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I don't think, you know, for such a high profile guy, Lamar Jackson, in a lot of ways has that like Kawhi Leonard in him a little bit, where he's like super private. Right, he's not outward about how he handles his business all the time. And so I think that'll be cool. I think that'll be fun to see. But outside of that, I'm like, I think there's more potential negatives than positives, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, is anyone aware, like, do they benefit in any way? Like, other than advertising, do the teams benefit from being on Hard Knocks?
I would imagine that if there is not that great, because you hear more teams saying that they don't want to be a part of Hard Knocks these days than teams that are jumping to do it. A lot of the competitive teams don't really want to do this type of stuff. So I don't know for a fact, but I would imagine even if there is a benefit, it's not that big.
Yeah. I can't imagine it making a dent in the pockets of the owners who are, I'm assuming the one who has to make the final call. I just can't imagine DaCosta and Harbaugh are thrilled about this. I'm just wondering, like, and who is something that the idea to?
Well, is it something that was forced on them by the NFL? Do we know that?
Like,
well, this is a whole division thing. So it's not like the Ravens could just, you know, say we're the only team out. The fact that it's the entire division leads me to believe it's probably something that was out of their hands. You know what I'm saying? This is all four teams. That's a part of this. I would imagine that Pittsburgh's not thrilled about this.
Yeah, I was going to say, you think Tomlin's feeling any better? No, he's certainly not excited about it.
Mm. Yeah, this is it's going to be fun thing to see and see what kind of access they get. I wonder, John's going to watch the final cut on every episode. I want final cut.
I'm not letting anything. Definitely the director's cut and, you know, to see what's all being left out. Right. But like I said, I am curious to see what does make the cut for them and what doesn't, considering how private they really are.
You know what else I'm going to be interested to see? I'm going to be interested to see if there will be any transparency around how Deshaun Watson's teammates interact with him. Just because, like, that's a dynamic that we don't really know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We've talked about this before. Like, I think it would be weird to be a vet and, like, have a daughter and, like, try and have this guy tell me what to do and rally the troops. I'd be like, maybe not, you know, but you're in work. Like, this is your work dynamic. So how do you figure this thing out? I think that will be interesting too, because we've talked about it. I don't know if he ever recovers from this thing. I think he, you know, from an image standpoint, it will be interesting to see how he's able to lead a team, or if, you know, they're just kind of like, well, we moved on and business is business, you know. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Now I got to get to some storylines from throughout camp and kind of leading into training camp. I want to get your take on some of these. And if you noticed anything, seeing as though you were at camp and you were able to kind of see these guys and what they were, how they were interacting with each other. And by the way, guys, we're here with Cordell Woodland of 105.7 The Fan, Shaking It Up Sports. You can find him there in the evenings.
Cordell, am I allowed to say this? That you are the stir that shakes the how does it go, Glenn?
The straw that stirs the drink.
Yeah, you are the absolute caffeine in 105.7. Like, you're the juice, dude. Like,
I appreciate it, man.
Dude, let me tell you what. You brought our entire generation. Like, I know that Glenn and I used to listen to 107 previous to that, and like, I love Vinny and those other guys and stuff. They're all great. but I think a lot of our dads listened to that more than us. Like, no, it's not. I'm not trying to. I'm just being honest. But like,
for sure. Dude,
Cordell, you totally brought it back. Like, mm-hmm. brought it back to life. So shout out to you, dude. Hope you're getting a nice paycheck over there. They're not 105.7. Take care, Cordell.
Yeah, I hope Chuck's happy as is listening to that. But I appreciate it, man.
Dude.
You know, the old heads, the John Thompsons of the world, and you know, and all of those. I grew up listening to sports talk radio, and a lot of the guys on that was on the station even before me, like the Terry Fords of the world that are mm-hmm. no longer, even the Colemans and the Bob Haneys and Scott Garceau, man. Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of them that I have taken bits and pieces from because they're so great at what they do. Mm-hmm. I'd be a fool to not try to apply to my own style, but I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, man, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Big fans here, but I'm curious when you heard Lamar Jackson talking about, I think every fan, when Lamar Jackson was asked, like, are you going to be getting with the pass catchers between this dead time where, you know, training camp hasn't started yet. And when he said, they got to come to me. They got to come to my state. A lot of guys don't want to leave their state. They got to come to South Florida. It almost felt like, and a lot of fans agree, that he was talking about Rashad Bateman. At least that's how a lot of fans interpret it. Like, you see who's there. You see the one glaring, you know, absence is typically Rashad Bateman. He's been the target of a lot of fans saying that, look, if there's anyone who needs to get into chemistry and get in and work on this, it's Rashad Bateman. If he wants to have that big year and get those, you know, turn those extra targets into production, what's your take on, you know, should Rashad Bateman, do you think they should all travel to South Florida? Do you think that's an unfair? Do you think he was talking to him specifically? What's your take on that whole situation, Cordell?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who he was talking about. I can't knock the fans if they assumed he was referring to Rashad Bateman. I mean, I'd be lying if I said that that's not at least at best an educated guess. You know what I'm saying? Just by process of elimination. Mm-hmm. That said, I think Lamar also kind of contradicted himself by saying people got to leave their areas to come to him, but he also acknowledges he doesn't want to leave Florida. You know what I'm saying? So it's a double-edged sword. That dynamic between him and Bateman, I think everybody has looked for somebody to blame. And I think that's just the way things are these days. But I don't know if there's just one person to blame. Sometimes things are just unfortunate. I think to this point, there's been a lot of time lost that Rashad Bateman has, but both of them, they both struggled with injuries at various points over the last, I guess you could say, 4 years. And when one guy's out there, it seems like the other one's not. And then when they are out there together, at times it looks like this is working. And then there's days where it just looks like they don't even know who each other is. So it's weird. Even that, I coming out of mini camp, I thought Bateman finished camp on the last day of camp. It was his best day of the offseason. Best day. I mean, granted, it was no helmets, so it was a lighter practice. But he was very in tune in practice. He got a lot of balls thrown his way. His body language was good. And that's the thing with Bateman. The day before, it was a bad thing. It was a bad day for Bateman, really bad day. Drop passes. One of them turns into an interception in the end zone by a corner that's probably not even going to make the team. Some disconnects on maybe Lamar thought Bateman was going to do one thing and Bateman did another, or vice versa, some inaccurate passes, just whatever the case may be. But that was a bad body language day from Bateman. And I think he's just the type of guy where how he's feeling inside emotionally and even mentally really does truly impact how he plays. Whereas a guy like Nelson Aguilar, Lamar throws a ball to him, it's incomplete. Lamar thought he was going to do something that he didn't. And then right after the play, they come up and they're talking to each other. There's that constant communication. I just don't see that with Lamar and Rashad Bateman even to this day. And it's disappointing, to be honest with you. And I'm not blaming Bateman. I don't know who it is. You know, it's both of them at this point. It's both of them. Like I said, when Aguilar has a disconnect, they go and talk. When it's Zay, he and Lamar are able to kind of bring it together. But when it's Bateman, Bateman kind of needs to be by himself for a second. You know, he needs to probably cool down a little bit. And then at the same time, it's not like I'm watching Lamar try to go up to Bateman and Bateman push him away. So I don't know what that dynamic is like right now, to be honest with you. I've seen them joking together on the field. I would imagine that they like each other personally, but in terms of what it's going to look like on the field, I'm not trying to shoot down anybody's dreams. I'm only telling you what I've seen to this point. It could change and they could turn out to be great together throughout the course of the season because the talent level is clearly there. But the chemistry is still a work in progress right now.
And that's why it was just perplexing to me. Like we talked about maybe like, I think if I'm Lamar, like I just pay for everyone to come out, put them up at a nice spot, like whatever, we make it a work all day. We have a nice evening. You know, you have things taken care of and you don't have to think about anything, but just hanging out and playing football, whatever. Just improving your chemistry. Even if Lamar's like, I'm not doing any of that. You can fly out here type thing. Right. Like to me, if I'm Bateman, I'm still doing that because so much of my future career depends on this year. I mean, really. And then, you know, obviously he got the little extension, but still in comparison to his cohorts, there's so much more money to be had. And it's like, dude, you got to do whatever you can because your career depends. You got to make this thing work to some degree, you know, to.
What do you think any players were like, well, I was here at all the OTAs, you know, we could have worked on that here.
He could say that. He could say, you know, Bateman showed up to the OTAs when Lamar wasn't there. And for me, it's just about getting together, you know, and doing it. Like, even if I'm not upset at anybody that doesn't come to OTAs because it's voluntary at the end of the day. But for me, it's just still link up. I mean, even if you're not going to come out to Owens Mills, we could go at a park. We could go wherever. Like, it's too much time between the AFC Championship game to week one for there to be this many missed opportunities, you know. And we can only go off of what we know. To our knowledge, these two haven't gotten together to this point off to the side, you know, outside of practices when they've been there together to work out together. And so that's a disappointing thing, I guess, with all the Bateman talk all offseason that we've gotten from Ravens brass. It just feels like that same issue in terms of the chemistry between wide receiver and quarterback still is a work in progress, and it almost feels like it's borderline at the same place it was where we left off last season.
Yeah, frustrating. That's a bummer. And like you said, I don't know if it's
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If there's blame to be placed, right? Yeah, either way, I don't know. If I'm Bateman, I'm knocking on Lamar's door. I'm taking a sleeping bag, and I'm sleeping on his front porch. Right. And like, dude, whatever I got to do, you want me to pay for dinner because you're a tightwad? Fine. Like, let's just do it. Like, let's do the thing. You know what I mean?
Got,
like,
he got a second contract, right? He's doing okay. He didn't get Lamar money.
I'm saying if I'm Bateman, I'm saying, dude, you need me to pay for it. Like, I make crumbs comparison to you, but whatever. Like, I'll do what I got to do. Right? Like, he could be on that LeBron still has commercials on his Pandora type thing. So Lamar could still be like that, not wanting to pay. You know what I mean? I don't know. Just don't know. Right? But anyway, I would just, dude, you got to figure it out. Whatever it is, no, you got
to
figure it out.
And to your point, like, yeah, Bateman got his extension, but Lamar's not going anywhere. You know, he's not going anywhere. His career is kind of, and not, I'm not saying he can stop playing today and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but we're talking about a dude that's a two-time MVP. That's one of the best players in the league, a face of this franchise. He's not going anywhere. So if you're Rashad Bateman, yeah, I mean, fair or not, in my opinion, it probably is, the onus probably should be more on him to try to make this thing happen, because the relationship with Zay is there. The relationship with Mark Andrews is there. The relationship with Isaiah Likely is there. Even Nelson Aguilar, it's there. So it's like, dude, you kind of got to get in there and fight for your food at this point, because there's only but so much that's going to be left on the plate for you as is. We know Lamar historically really only has two consistent targets that he's looking for throughout the course of a year. So if you're going to get in there and fight your way to be maybe the third guy or something, like, it's got to start now, because I'm going to tell you, Isaiah Likely had probably the best camp out of anybody offensively. And he's not Mark Andrews. He's not Zay Flowers. And both of those guys are going to get there. So if Likely's really going to push the situation to where he's going to be a top three target on this team, then it's like, Bateman, where does it leave you again? I don't want to see the clips at the end of the season of Bateman open and not getting the ball. That doesn't do anything for you. It's like, where's the production?
Nothing like going in free, taking a free agency visit, you know, later on in his career. And, oh, well, what was with the production? Oh, well, Zay and Mark were there, like, shrugging your shoulders, like, okay. And, you know what I mean? I'd be like, so what, dude? Like, if I'm a GM and,
yeah, there's good players everywhere.
And we got a whole stable of guys. Yeah. What do you know, you're going to go play for the Panthers or what? Like, anyway.
Let's move on from Cordell telling everyone really not to draft Bateman to their fantasy team. Okay.
Really quickly, Glenn, can I get to, I want to stay in that position group, but I kind of want to.
Yeah, go.
So
go ahead.
Talk to us about your takeaways from the pass catcher's perspective, you know, from a macro perspective, right? Where you are now as far as the wide receivers go. And really what I want to know, coming out of minicamp, are there any guys that you're intrigued about that Ravens fans aren't hearing a lot about, but maybe they should start doing some research on, that they could surprise you? Because at the end of the day, math is math. We got a lot of positions locked up, but there may be a guy that forces the issue a little bit. Is there someone out there that should keep an eye on?
I mean, you know, this is the time of year where pass catchers should look good, because you can't do but so much. They're not in pads. Is emphasized to the defensive backs to not contest the ball down the field or anything like that. So you're going to see guys getting beat and stuff like that. You kind of just got to take it with a grain of salt. But I will say, like I said, Isaiah Likely was out of this world good. I mean, it felt almost eerily similar to training camp for him in his rookie season, where it felt like every day there was a wow play from Isaiah Likely. And that's really what mini camp was every day. I mean, he has the one-handed grab over the middle. He's got the one where he's jumped. It felt like he got on top of a ladder and jumped and snagged it with two hands over the middle. I mean, he was just unstoppable all offseason. I thought Tez Walker had a really good mini camp. Was kind of quiet during OTAs, to me at least. But I thought minicamp, he looked really good. He looked really good at minicamp. He made some plays. He was matched up against TJ Tampa quite a bit, and it gave me some of the vibes that I was getting from, like, Isaiah Likely and Kyle Hamilton's rookie year, where they seemed to always be matched up against each other, especially when one-on-one started. And similar to that, the offensive guy is winning to start camp, which, like I said, isn't a surprise because it's a limit to what defense can do. But I thought Tez Walker, even when he got his opportunities to get out there with Lamar, he made the most of his chances. He caught a couple of passes in the red zone, had a couple of nice deep balls as well. So he's one that I thought did himself a really good service in what he was able to put on film.
How is the speed?
The speed is deceptive. It's deceptive. It's not like when you're watching him, you're like, oh man, this dude is like blazing fast. But you look, he's stacking guys. You know, he's able to track the ball really well. He's able to kind of get to where he wants. I don't want to make it seem like the dude didn't make any mistakes. You know, he wasn't flawless, but I definitely thought he was trending in the right direction throughout the course of the 3 days of mini camp. Sean Ryan is another one that I thought was pretty impressive. Just didn't hurt himself. You know, he didn't do anything to hurt himself, caught some balls, and he's kind of the veteran now in a sense, in terms of that stable of guys that's on the bubble on this roster. Tylan Wallace had up and down offensive days. He had some days where he just had multiple drops. He had some days where he had some, you know, he's catching contested catches, some in the red zone as well. So kind of up and down. For Tylan Wallace, I'd say he wasn't very consistent. Kadri's son had a really good day on the third day of minicamp, caught some red zone touchdowns.
Does the kid just look massive?
He's a big guy. He's a big guy. I was very surprised. I actually talked to Kadri about that because I'm like, where's all this size coming from? And I believe he said it's from his wife's side. His son's mom's side, she has a lot of taller people over there. So I think that's where he said the height came from. But this is a big kid. We're seeing wide receivers being transitioned to tight ends more and more. I'm not saying that that's what the Ravens are thinking about doing or if that's something that's going to happen this year, but it wouldn't shock me because he has the size to be able to make that transition and the athletic ability. You no longer have to be like the biggest guy, you know, right, weight-wise to play tight end anymore. So I'm curious to see if that maybe is something in his future. But I thought the third day of minicamp was probably his best day. I see somebody just mentioned Dayton Wade. Wade had a really good – I've mentioned it on the third day to a couple of media members. He had some false starts, and there were quite a few guys – having issues with false starts offensively in minicamp because they were doing some different things with the cadence. So Wade wasn't absolved of that. He had a couple of those, but I told somebody on the third day of minicamp, like, man, it feels like every time 18 gets a ball thrown at him, he catches it. So, you know, he stuck out in my mind for that reason alone. And he has some wiggle after the catch. So all in all, I thought, you know, like I said, I don't think anybody was flat out terrible as a receiver. Zay had his days, you know, where he's popping, had a couple of drops as well. And you're going to hear Greg, if you come out to training camp, you're going to hear Greg Lewis a lot talking about put the ball away, put it away, put it away. He's yelling that to all these guys as soon as they catch the ball to tuck it and put it away. We've had a couple of these guys get the ball punched out after a catch. Zay is a victim of that himself early in minicamp. We've had some guys come and make a catch and kind of get it tipped up in the air, and it turns into a tip drill interception. So a little bit of sloppiness there, but all in all, I didn't think anybody receiver-wise was necessarily terrible.
Yeah, Zay needs to put that ball away.
Indeed.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, I'm gonna try something here. I'm going to try and hit you with a couple names, and you just give me some rapid fire, like how they looked, I guess, and maybe your expectation on a couple names, okay?
Cool.
I'm going to start with Trenton Simpson.
Pleasantly surprised. I wasn't as optimistic on Trenton Simpson as other people were. Mm-hmm. I just didn't put a lot of stock into the one Pittsburgh game. That's just me. And a lot of people just, I think, are discounting what Patrick Queen was able to give them. Eventually, he became a three-down linebacker. He was one of the better blitzing linebackers in the NFL, a big part of what they did defensively in terms of getting pressure on the quarterback. I thought he improved as a coverage guy, too, and tackling in space. So I'm just not as optimistic as other people that it's just going to be Trenton Simpson sliding in and you're not missing Patrick Queen anymore. I get why people feel a certain way about Patrick Queen these days. I do.
Did he block you?
No, he didn't. He still follows me.
So that's because you're a nice guy.
I stayed clear. I understand the fans. You know, I'm a fan myself, a deranged one at times. So I don't.
We were blocked before it was cool to be blocked by Pat.
It's true. Okay, it's true.
Long before
we're ahead of the game.
There,
the game. Yeah, right. I mean, but look, Trenton Simpson. I thought he looked really good in camp. Very quick. The quickness and the speed is as advertised. I'll say that. Yeah. I think he is a. He has potential to be a better coverage guy than Patrick Queen was when it's all said and done. I'm still unsure because they're not tackling right now what the tackling will look like for him. Mm-hmm. But I thought that he was sharp. He plays fast, and he didn't look like he made a lot of mistakes, which is good. So I'm curious to see how they use him. I don't expect that he'll be a three-down linebacker to start, but eventually, you know, the hope is that he'll blossom into that role. So we might see more DBs on the field in some of these big dime packages. But I thought Trenton Simpson had a solid camp. I didn't leave there with, you know, feeling negative any sort of way with him taking over for Patrick Queen. So I thought that was good.
Yeah, yeah. How about Malik Cunningham?
Malik Cunningham is another one that did himself, I thought, a pretty good service in terms of receiver. Again, I do want to stress that this is the time of year where receivers are going to look good. But Malik Cunningham looked the part. He's shifty. He has better hands than you would think for a guy that's transitioning from quarterback to wide receiver. Not a lot of drop passes from him. He's in the slot quite a bit, got quite a bit of run with the ones. Now, granted, they're rotating a lot of guys in and out. There were times where Bateman or Aguilar wouldn't necessarily participate in a team drill. So you're going to have the Malik Cunninghams getting those reps. But I thought he was solid. He can make play. He made some tough catches, some in traffic. Route running probably needs to be cleaned up a little bit, but he is a shifty guy. So I came into this really surprised that he was still on the roster to this point, to be honest with you. And now if he can find a way to carve out a role for himself in special teams, because he's going to have to contribute on special teams to make this team. If he's really going to be a back end of the roster guy, and I still think it's a long shot for him to do that. Special teams will be his calling card, but he could be a guy that, you know, you're hearing fans kind of oohing and on about in preseason, just because he knows what to do with the ball in his hands and catching the ball, which is kind of the number one thing you're looking for when these guys are transitioning to this position. He did a pretty good job catching the ball.
Okay. We'll have to see what he's got coming up in camp. And last one, this isn't more of like a name, it's two names. Who do you have more confidence in, Andrew Voorhees or Ben Cleveland?
Oh, good one. Good question.
Voorhees right now.
Isn't that kind of crazy, Cordell, that you feel?
No.
How do you have more confidence in a guy who hasn't done a daggone thing, and the last time we saw him, he had a blown-out knee, and yet Cleveland is putting the tape together, Cordell, and here we are.
I'm a lot of it is because I'm going off of what they're showing me. So at times in camp, I'm assuming I can say this. At times in camp, they have two separate fields. And one field you'll have kind of the younger guys, a lot of rookies on that field. But guys like Nate Wiggins would rotate over. Tez Walker at times would rotate over. And when
it's
I say
the kids table,
it's kind of the kids table field and the adult field. Ben Cleveland was at the kids table.
No.
A lot. He was at the kids table a lot, in team drills. So that's not what you want to see. No. And I don't know if it's a motivational tool for them. It could be that, you know, it could be, they're just trying to light a fire under him and
let him know it's not his job type thing.
And if that's the case, I personally don't feel great about that, because it's like, you know, why do you need that fire lit under you at this point in your career? Yeah. If you don't know that you're fighting for a roster spot, then I don't know what to tell you. So that was disappointing to see that. Again, Cleveland's a guy that I think throughout his career, I guess he hasn't practiced well. And I think that's something, I think that's something that has hindered him in terms of getting that playing time, because when he gets in the game, it doesn't always look as bad as you thought it might end up looking. So I think he's a guy that's going to need those preseason games to really help him out, to show that maybe he's more of a gamer than a practice guy. But right now, they're telling me that they trust Andrew Voorhees more than Ben Cleveland.
I'll tell you what, I've said it before. Your boy Vinny does not like himself.
No.
Does not like him at all. But
Jimmy, ask him about your guy. Before we move on from the offensive line, ask him about your guy, dude.
Wait, my guy?
On the offensive line, who's your guy?
Who's my guy?
Falele, dude.
He's my guy now? look, I'll say this, though. I'll say this. It is true. I'm the most optimistic about Falele on this show. That is true.
Yes.
I believe that he has an opportunity. I believe that he could be a better right guard than Ben Cleveland. But yeah, I mean, what's Falele look? Is he just too slow?
As a guard, I don't think they've given him a look at guard. I remember last camp they were giving him a look at guard. I didn't think it was that great. They're doing it again this year. They're giving him some opportunities. I think he's struggling at least in OTAs. He was, and I'm thinking maybe early in minicamp, he was struggling with this conditioning, the heat and everything. And I want to say it was OTAs because the weather was pretty good in minicamp. But yeah, it was a day of one day that was really bad for Daniel Falele. I mean, he's kind of barfing on the side.
Come on, Jimbo.
You might catch him on a knee. It wasn't that great for him. Sure? But I think they definitely
on a knee. He's still as tall as Linderbaum.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. And I think there's something there. They are giving him a look at tackle. I do think he's in the running to still crack maybe being like a starting right tackle for them. I don't know if he'll
win. So you don't think it's Rosengarten like already penciled in?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I do think there is an active competition for that right tackle spot. And that's not to say Rosengarten may not be in the lead, but I find it hard to believe that kind of Rosengarten is kind of penciled in right now as the guy. I don't know if it's Falele either. I don't know what their plan is, but I do think Falele fits more as a tackle than a guard. I just don't think athleticism wise in terms of moving, he just gets out there a little too slow for my liking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe in his athleticism. I think he's got an opportunity.
But now it's his guy. When you said he's still in the competition, all of a sudden his smile came back.
No, he's not my guy. He's not my guy. Look, last year, Brandon Stevens was my guy.
That's true.
Yeah, that's like, a good one.
I don't have a stake in the ground, you know, flagpole guy yet.
If he started week one, you're going to have a jersey on. I know it.
No, I really don't have a guy yet. I've got to – remember we talked about this, Glenn. One of these shows before camp, we're going to try and identify our guys that we're going to ride with and hope that they do well. But I'm not surprised to hear about Ben Cleveland. But this is my other question. So it sounds like Falele had more time at the adult table.
Yeah, he did. Falele was with the adults. I don't think he was really at the kids' table.
The kids' table.
He wouldn't be able to fit.
Ben's not even at the kids' table. He's in the kiddie pool with floaties on. He's eating a dreamsicle.
I think Falele can definitely play. I do think he can play. I thought he, you know, when they were rotating tackles last year, I thought he helped himself out a little bit. It's just the conditioning. That especially early in the season, you know, it gets hot at times, man. And that's the one thing you don't want to have a situation to where your tackle of all positions is kind of exhausted and isn't able to keep up, because you play some teams in this division that have great pass rushers on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. So,
that's on him. You're right. I mean, that's on him. He's got to get acclimated, right?
For sure.
Yeah, that's on him. Most definitely. Well, DK is asking about Saleh.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Any take? Any sightings?
Saul is in the running for the guard, for the starting guard spot for one of them. I think he's in the running for that. I think that they'd like to see Saleh kind of grasp. I think they want to see somebody snatch the reins on the offensive line in general. Yeah. I mean, they got three open spots.
Yeah, make their decision easier, yeah, right?
I mean, John Harbaugh said that they want to figure this thing out sooner rather than later. He wants to go into preseason with maybe one of the spots still up for grabs. So there, Falele is getting, I mean, Saleh is getting every opportunity, just like Falele. I will say I do think they're spreading the wealth a little bit in terms of the competition on the offensive line. They are giving all of these guys a true look. Ben Cleveland is probably the one that has gotten the least amount of opportunities to this point. But I would say Saleh is a guy that they would like to go jump in there and make them look good, a great value pick from a year ago. Me personally, I would just like to see Saleh play stronger. He's a strong guy. He's a big guy. I just don't think he always plays to that size. And again, it's tough to kind of see that right now without the pads. You're really only looking at the technique at times. But if that's the one knock I could have on him, it would be that I just want to see him play stronger. Mm.
Dude, is there any way Ben Cleveland just says, screw it, I'm going WWE or strongman competition?
It worked out for Bron Breakker. You know what I'm saying? It could do the same thing for him.
He's got to be able to compete in a strongman competition, right?
Yeah. I mean, the dude is a tank. He's built. I don't think body size is his problem. I don't think stamina or, you know, conditioning is his issue. I just don't think he has kind of that dog in him that they like their offensive linemen to have. And maybe, yeah, like I said, on game day, maybe it does come out of him a little more because he's looked better in games than you'd imagine he would. But he's got to show something to them at the facility, whether it's the weight room, classroom, or in practice. He's got to do something.
And imagine you give Patrick McCary, that guy, you give Patrick McCary Ben Cleveland's body. I mean, holy shit. I mean, Patrick McCary would be an animal. Yeah. If you gave that guy Ben Cleveland's frame, it's kind of crazy. But also, I'm kind of curious. There's a lot of people who think Marlon Humphrey will never return to the Marlon Humphrey we love and remember, and Pro Bowl form, all pro form. Some already saw the injuries. He's apparently got nagging, you know, described as nagging injuries, which, Cordell, how the hell do you have nagging injuries when fucking minicamp just started? I don't get it. So like, where are you at on Marlon and his nagging injuries, and will he ever be the Marlon we remember?
Man, it's tough, man. It's tough. I want to think that Marlon can get back to being maybe not a premier corner. You know, I don't know if he'll get back
to not that old though, level. Cordell.
He's not, but the injury,
he's what, 29, right?
He's in his upper 20s. The injuries just don't go away. And it's like last year was pretty hard for him injury wise. And he's still dealing with it to this point. He just plays so physical. I don't know, man.
He's 27.
I was about to say he's 27, dude.
Bro. I don't know if Marlon will get back to the point to where he was at the peak of his career. But maybe the Ravens don't necessarily need him to do that. Now, financially, that could be a totally different conversation going forward. But in terms of how he fits with the team, and is he still an asset to this defense? I think so. I think Marlon is still a good enough football player. Just with his IQ alone, I think he's still a quality player for them if he's available on the field.
Let me ask you this, Cordell. If you could only have one of them for the next season, no, they're both going to be healthy. You only have Brandon Stevens or Marlon Humphrey. Where are you going? Because as much as I love Brandon Stevens, I think if they're both healthy, I think Marlon is still that dude.
Yeah, I mean, Marlon's body of work is still there compared to Stevens, who had, you know, one good year to this point. I'm not to say that he had, you know, he's a guy that's changed positions, and it was a learning curve for him at corner. Last year was Brandon Stevens' year for sure. I don't know, man. If I got to base it off of last year and what I'm seeing currently, I got to go be Steve. I mean, he's trending up. He's trending up. Marlon's arrow is pointing down.
He is. Right. But I think Marlon has a bounce back. I'm not worried about Marlon. I think he comes back.
Not even when you're seeing he's dealing with nagging injuries.
Well, so outside of health, but like if he can just string.
Well, that's the only concern, right? Like
some people think he's just lost a step, that it's unrecoverable, and that he's just not going to get it back, like type thing, right? I think I'm there.
I think he struggles to guard some of these bigger receivers that can run. We've seen that. I mean, George Pickens has given him problems every time they're matched up. It feels like down the field. I don't know if I feel comfortable with him matched up with T. Higgins or Jamar Chase these days.
That's funny, because do you see that as more of a speed thing, or do you see that as more Marlon's never been able to track the football?
He's big.
Yeah. Like, dude can't he, I mean, I don't ever want Marlon playing wide receiver or outfield. Like, forget that. You know what I mean? Do you think he really can't keep up from a speed standpoint?
I think he struggled speed wise to keep up with some of these guys. I mean, Pickens stacked them a couple of times last year. Fair. I think Amari Cooper could do the same thing. I like Marlon in from short to intermediate range. I don't necessarily want him
in that slot spot, maybe,
which leads me to the slot. Yeah. But you also like Hamilton there. You also like Mallett there. And Mallett's not an outside guy. Hamilton, they haven't, you know, you don't want to start getting crazy and putting him on the outside. So now if you ask me in terms of like, who's going to have the better bounce back year between Marlon and like Stanley, because they're kind of in the same boat in terms of trying to get back to where they were at one point in their career and dealing with injuries. I feel better about Stanley these days. And maybe it's because Stanley was out there throughout OTAs and mini camp and everything. But I feel like even after last year, going out of last year, I felt like Stanley could only go up from the season he had. I don't know if Stanley will be all pro again, but I think Stanley could at least get back to a Pro Bowl type level if his body allows him to. Marlon, while the injuries are a concern, I just also wonder how much he can kind of hang with some of these wide receivers these days. I don't know. So much of the game these days is vertical. I think Marlon is very aggressive. He's a great tackler. He's a good blitzer, can do good things in the screen game. But I just struggle to have a lot of confidence in him and guarding some of these receivers in the division alone.
So what you're telling me is that if Trenton Simpson doesn't work out, we give Marlon a packet of Oreos and some whole milk, and we say, look, we're going to put you next to Roquan. We'll let you hang out around the line of scrimmage. Forget all this other stuff.
Some people are saying he's going to go to safety.
I've heard that. I struggle.
You got to be physical.
Leave it until I see it. Yeah. You know, because that's a big change. I struggle to. And granted, the one thing that they have going for them, if we were going to go that route, is they need a safety now, a coverage safety. So if that's the route they go and they put Marlon back there, and that allows them to still move Hamilton up, Mallett in the slot, and then you could put a guy like TJ Tampa or somebody out there, even if you don't trust Trenton Simpson to be a three-down linebacker, you have corners that you can throw out there. Jalen Armour Davis, who's, as long as he's healthy, they're going to put him on the field. Pepe Williams got a lot of run in the slot, and some as safety as well. So they have options in what they could do. So I'm curious to see what it looks like when Marlon comes back, because I still think he's a good football player. I just, he's just, I don't know if he can do some of the things that maybe he used to be able to do at the corner position now, just because of his body at this stage.
Yeah, well, certainly if you're going to transition from corner to safety, you got to be physical, and he's definitely got that. So yeah, that's probably why people kind of, you know, make that jump corner to safety. But last one I have for you, Cordell, and thanks again. You guys can catch Cordell, 105.7 The Fan, evening, Shaking It Up Sports, whenever I guess the schedule allows for you to get in there. But I am curious about, I saw Kyle Van Noy asked about Adafe Owe, and a bunch of people have been talking about Adafe throughout camp. Roger talked about the difference him coming, to the mini camp meant for his development and facing a guy with that type of speed and athleticism. And KVN said he has higher expectations for Owe than he does for himself. Can't wait to see what this guy is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kind of wait and see on Adafe as far as production, or are you just bullish and saying, look, this is the year he's going to have that breakout season, that Meta BK type season? Where are you at when it
take,
comes?
Take to a second if you need a second.
Oh,
nah, I think I'm kind of done on the this is always year.
What?
I'm not saying that he's going to flop. But I can't allow myself to get back to the point to where I'm saying, oh yeah, always going for 8+ sacks this year or something. I kind of got to see that to believe it. I do think he's better than people give him credit for in terms of his overall game. I don't think it's as simple as just looking at the stat sheet and seeing what his sack numbers are and just, basing your opinion off that. He does do a lot of different things. And with what they had personnel-wise last year, while you'd love for him to get to the quarterback, it wasn't always necessarily asked for him to get to the quarterback because Clowney was doing it so much. Van Noy's doing it. Matabike's doing it. Queen's doing it. Hamilton's doing it. It was really a sack by committee type of team. Millett as well with that nickel blitz last year, which was kind of unstoppable. So you want to see Owe take a step forward because when you look at the pass rush group they have this year, yeah, they are dependent on Owe to be a sack guy now. So you do want to see those sack numbers go up. I just don't know if it'll be in the cards. He's had some moments to where he's flashed in camp, but they're not in pass. They can't really block these guys like that. They're just trying to stay in front of them. So you can't. I've made the mistake of putting stock into that before, not doing that again. So I'm kind of just in wait and see mode with Owe. If he can stay healthy, which at least last year for the most part he was able to do, I think that's a step in the right direction. But he still has the same issue that I think he's had for a while, which is kind of that secondary move, translating the speed and the power. I just think that's kind of the issue because at times he gets stood up or he'll get washed out by the tackle. I want to see him be able to actually shed blocks and really put pressure on the quarterback. I'll be okay if it's a situation that people used to get on Jadeveon Clowney about not finishing plays. He's the guy that gets other people sacks. If that's Adafe Owe's role, then so be it. But they do need him to be kind of a menace off the edge and wreak havoc in opposing teams' backfields, because if not, teams, as it looks right now, quarterbacks are going to have some time to throw the ball. And this Ravens defense depends a lot on getting pressure to the quarterback. A lot of it's built into the scheme. I'm curious to see how much of that is still there with so many of the guys from last year, player and coaches wise, now gone. But they are going to lean on Adafe Owe to do more in the pass rush department. And they should. I mean, it's kind of that time for him, to show something in that regard.
100%. And I'll let you go with this one, because my question is exactly is not exactly the same, but is in the same vein. Is that the position group you're most concerned about at this point?
I would say yes. Between that, that safety spot is still sticking out to me. But like I said, they have some options in-house that they like. I don't know if it's necessarily great for me, the Ardarius Washingtons of the world. And, we've kind of seen that movie a couple of times. And while I think Ardarius is a fine player, I just think it has a shelf life. It's shown that. So that's the only thing that concerns me. But the pass rush is definitely a concern for me. When you lose a Clowney, when you lose Queen, Van Noy is another year older now, although he was really good last year. I don't know what that means for this year. Ajabo and Owe, they're leaning on these guys big time this year. Does Matabike, I mean, I'm not expecting 13 sacks from Matabike again, but what does his floor look like now? Can he still be a menace as in terms of being a pass rusher and still really good in the run game? I'm curious to see what type of season he has. But while there are questions, there are also, you know, optimistic guys out there, guys to be optimistic about, I should say, like Travis Jones. I think Travis Jones could be in line to have a huge year this year with more playing time. So maybe that'll help some of these outside guys as well with hopefully more pressure coming up the middle. But definitely pass rush is a huge concern for me right now.
Yeah, I can't absolutely cannot wait to see these guys get back to the facility. Let's just hope no issues, nobody getting injured, you know, nobody getting in any trouble legally. Right. Just you know, let's get to camp. All 90 guys and healthy and ready to play. Thanks again for your time, Cordell. Certainly appreciate it. Guys, again, if you guys don't know, check Cordell out, 105.7 The Fan, weeknights in the evening, Shaking It Up Sports. And Cordell, where else can they find your work on Twitter and all that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much put it all out there at Cordell Woodland. You can catch my tweets. I'm doing a lot of everything these days, so you can catch my show Shaking It Up Sports on weeknights. I'm usually on Monday nights for the most part. And you can also download the Odyssey app. If you're not in a car, you can listen on the Odyssey app. But yeah, follow me on social media for my updates on anything going on with the Orioles or the Ravens, considering I'm around both of those teams a lot.
Appreciate your time, Cordell. That's it for us tonight, guys. We will be back soon to keep you up to date on all your Ravens news. But that's it for us tonight. Have a good one. See you.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.